This morning I want to go back to Joshua, as I mentioned, and we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1, along with some other verses out of Joshua, as well as the Old Testament. And I'd like to read Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 through verse, we'll reread the whole chapter. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, and that have I gotten unto you, as I have said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the years of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh spake to Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, thy servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord shall have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they shall also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And then answered Joshua, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whitherso thou goest, sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkeneth unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against the commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you just speak to us through your word this morning. And Father, help us to understand as these people begin to head into the promised land, into the land of Canaan, the land which you had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants. And now these descendants stand on the edge of the river, prepared to cross, to go in, to claim their inheritance. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand what Joshua was facing and the emotions that were going in his heart at this time and where you told him to turn. Lord, speak to us through your word this morning. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we looked at Moses' statement to the nation of Israel and his last prayer that he gave for the nation of Israel. And as he stood before all of Israel and spoke, he used the same words that were given here more than once in this chapter. He told the people of Israel, and specifically Joshua, that they were to be strong and of a good courage. Strong and of a good courage. We looked last Sunday at the fact that the Apostle Paul told us as Christians, we are to have the same characteristic in our life. We are to stand firm against the wiles and the schemes of Satan. We are not to be filled with fear. And the opposite of fear is courage. The opposite of fear is strength. And we are to be strong in the Lord. Now I want you to remember, and I just want to quickly go over, and we're going to just look at this very quickly. There were 13 things. I just want to read those because it's been a few weeks since we looked at those that the Lord gave to Joshua and prepared him for this moment. Now these same 13 things, as we looked at those a few Sundays ago, are to be in every one of our lives as well. As God is preparing each one of us, if you're His child this morning, to accomplish and do things for Him. Of these 13 things, first thing, God will not tolerate rebellion of men against Himself. And Joshua learned this. And so he learned that obedience was the key. Walking in obedience to the will and the purposes of God, not in rebellion to His Word. Second, power is not merely the power of the general and the sword. It is not to be the power of man, but it is truly the power of God. Men are not to look to men, but rather we're to look to God for strength and power. We're to look to the Lord for deliverance. And just a side note on that, one of the things that is very disturbing to me is we see all this that's happening in our nation with all the wickedness that's going on. And really it's motivated by sin and rebellion against God. That's what it's all about. One of the sad things I see is that most churches are not looking to the Lord. Instead, they're looking for a man. Many people want a politician to rise up who's conservative and who promote conservative values, who promote Christian values, and he'll be the one that will follow. No, we need to begin to follow God, and then God will bring the man. We're going to look at that in just a little bit later. The third thing, God is not far off. The Lord showed Joshua as he walked with Moses, God was not far off. God is always immediately present for our moment of need, as well as for our day of and time of worship and seeking us to lift our prayers before Him. God is not far off. The fourth thing, sin is terrible, especially among the people of God. And God showed this to Moses when the golden calf was made, and how terrible that was, and there were real consequences because of it. Fifth, merely using the name of God is not sufficient. You can't just use God's name and think you've got it. It's not some type of magical word if you say in the name of Jesus and pray in the name of Jesus. That's not a magical statement. You're not just to use the name of God, but you're to live in obedience to God, walking with God, and seeking the power of God and the leadership of God. So it's not just enough, merely enough, to use God's name. The sixth thing, God can and will guide. And this was going to be extremely important as Joshua was standing on the edge of the Jordan River to remember that he is not the one that is to go in and lay out the plan. It's going to be God can and will guide. God can and will guide you in your life. If you're experiencing troubles right now in your life, in your home, but in your job, whatever, you need to look to the Word of God, because God can and will guide you through the difficulties and through this life. Seventh, God's glory is to come first. There is a real difference between leadership and self-aggrandizement. Joshua saw that God's glory always came first. In the life of Moses, Moses never took the glory for himself. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that Moses is the meekest man that ever lived until the Lord Jesus Christ came and set the example for us. Moses was extremely meek, yet he was a powerful man who walked in the power of God's Spirit and followed and was guided by God, but he never took the glory. He always looked to the Lord, and that's what we're to do as well, that God's glory is the one who's to receive the glory, not man. The next is the eighth thing. A person cannot bind God with man-made rules. And you have people in churches today that attempt to do that. They want to make a whole set of rules that aren't even in the Scripture. And then they want to bind God and say, God, you've got to do this because we did this. And if we do this, you must do that. No, you cannot bind God. God is bound by one thing. That is His character and His Word. And so we see that we cannot bind God with man-made rules. The ninth thing, a man of God must stand and trust God, even against his own people, even if he's in the minority, even in the midst of physical danger. In other words, the thing that is most important is you're standing with and for the Lord, and you're standing on His principle, His character, His truth. And it doesn't matter if the whole world's against you, you stand for God. And that's what Joshua was taught. That's what Joshua saw when the 10 spies said, oh, we can't go in and conquer the land. And Caleb and Joshua said, but the Lord is with us, and He said He would conquer it for us. It's a wonderful land, and we need to enter in. Those two stood against the 10, but not only against the 10, against virtually the whole nation of Israel. And yet Joshua saw that it was important. They stood for truth, not the will of men. And then the 10th thing, even in His judgment, God keeps His promises and is distinguished distinguishes amongst men. He does not treat men like a series of numbers. In other words, I'm not just a number in God's plan. I'm a real person who God seeks to have a real relationship with. And there's a real, that relationship is deepening every day and should be. Now, what does that mean? The world looks at people as numbers oftentimes. Satan looks at people as numbers. God does not. Every person in this room, God knows so much about you. It's so intimate. He knows the number of hairs that are upon your head, the Scriptures tell us. He knows every thought you're thinking. Not only the thoughts you're thinking, but He's got one up on you because He knows the intents of those thoughts. Sometimes we don't even know what the things we're thinking. We don't know why what we're intending to do with the things we're thinking. But God knows. And so God knows all about us. And He knows about each one of you. And each one of you is significantly important to Him. He paid the penalty for your sins. And if there would have been one person in this world, He would have died on the cross for that one person. I want you to understand the significance of man to God, because Satan hates men, and you see it by the way he treats with death. The 11th, true spiritual leadership does not come from the hands of man, but from God. You're not going to be anointed by men to lead. That example is found in Scripture when Israel wanted a king. We talked briefly about that. Of Saul, that's the king they anointed, but God anointed David. Two different, totally different people.
two different hearts, two different relationships with the Lord. The men anointed one, a worldly man. God anointed one, a godly man.
The 12th thing, no man is indispensable, yet each man is important and unique.
I want you to understand that when you die, God's purposes and God's plan will continue on. It won't stop. It didn't stop when the Wesley brothers died. It didn't stop when some of the great saints in the past, when the apostles died, God's plan didn't stop. Could they be replaced? No, they were totally unique. But God raised up other people who had also unique gifts. And He's given to you unique gifts, unique opportunities, a unique time in space and history. And you are been called for your time with your gifts to live according to what God's plan is for your life. And when you go to heaven, you are unique and there will never be another one like you. But it will not stop the plan of God because you're gone.
And finally, the 13th thing, lesson that Joshua had, is usually there is preparation before leadership. And that is, Joshua spent years being the servant of Moses. The word we read this morning, minister, it didn't mean he was preaching to Moses. That's not the term. Minister means servant. He was the servant of Moses. He was the servant of Moses for years. During that whole time, he learned those 13 things, and God was preparing him for this moment.
He was now standing on the edge of the Jordan River. And as he's standing on the edge of the Jordan River, and word has come that Moses has died. The Lord has just told him, Moses is dead. You can't look for Moses anymore. He's not coming down from Mount Nebo. Now I'm calling you, Joshua. And at that moment, I'm sure that Joshua was thinking, I remember Moses in the desert with a hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. I remember Moses in the desert where there were all these problems. How am I going to handle them? And the Lord speaks those words that He shared with him and which Moses had shared with him before.
And He said to him, be strong and of a good courage.
Be strong and of a good courage.
Now, I want you to look at, there's going to be a three-step process that the Lord is going to reveal to Moses, to Joshua. And it is done in those 13, it's building upon those 13 characteristics that He had shown Joshua when Moses was, when he was learning under Moses.
How do you be strong and of a good courage? How do you be strong and of a good courage?
Well, the first thing you do is He reveals to us in verse 8. Let's begin at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to from it to the right hand or to the left, that it mayest prosper where whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
How do you have courage? How do you be strong as a Christian? It begins with the Word of God. Now I want you to understand, in the day in which we live, Satan wants one thing from every Christian here. He does not want you to read God's Word. Why? Because in God's Word, the Lord reveals not only Himself and His power and who He is. Beginning with Genesis, where He showed that everything that exists, including Satan, including the demons of hell, didn't come into existence on their own. They didn't evolve, but rather God created them. Satan chose to rebel, but he was a created being. Everything you see and touch and feel is part of God's creation. Now, it's been perverted, that God's creation has been perverted because of sin. And you can see the marks of sin all over this earth. Right now, you see what's happening in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia. That is nothing more than sin. And I don't know who you believe, because, you know, Vladimir Putin is a despot who desires more territory. But on the other hand, George Soros sponsored much of what's going on in Ukraine. You've got two very wicked, wicked governments, and they're fighting a war. So, what's at the heart of that war? Sin. Rebellion. It's the marks of sin on this earth. So where do we look? Do we look to governments? No, we look to God's Word. And that's where Joshua was told. He was told, don't look out at the other armies and plan according to how they're doing, and that's how you're going to go in and conquer the land. Don't do that. But the Lord tells him the first thing that you need to do is you need to be grounded and embedded and immersed in His Word. And then when you do that, you need to understand this Word, and guess what? God's Spirit will help you understand it. And He says that you need to look at this Word, you need to read this Word, you need to understand this Word, so much so that you don't turn to the right or the left. Now it's amazing, in the book of Numbers, Moses had said that you were not to add nor take away from that Word. Where else do we find that statement? That was when Moses had, Moses was finishing the Pentateuch, and he said the first five books of the Bible, the law, and he said, you're not to add or take away from this, because this is the Word of God. In the book of Revelation, which is the final book of the Bible, the final book written and given to us and canonized as Scripture, John, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, wrote that you were not to add nor take away from these prophecies or this Word. And those who did would have a special judgment that would fall on them if they added or took away from the Word of God. It's a serious matter. Why? Because this Word is to be the foundation of our life.
There used to be a man who was on the radio a number of years ago. He was on for a long time. And he would preach through the Bible every year. And I just lost his name in my brain system. But at the beginning of every one of his radio programs and at the end, he'd sing a hymn that we have in our book, hymn book. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. And the firm foundation that's in that hymn is speaking of the Word of God. That should be the foundation of our life. That reveals to us the whole gospel message. It reveals to us the fact that God's our Creator, that God is God and who He is. And Joshua needed all of God's Word as the foundation of his life if he was going to be courageous and stand strong without fear. So that's the first thing that we need to understand, that every person needs to have God's Word as the foundation of his life. It's not to depart from our mouth. We're to meditate upon it. And by meditation, that's not Eastern meditation. That is contemplation. We're to contemplate upon God's Word. We're to interact in our thoughts with the Lord. We're to pray and ask Him to help us with His Word. And we're to seek guidance from His Word. And the characteristics that are commandments in His Word are given to us for us in our space-time relationship. You know, there's a lot of people today that say the Word of God really isn't pertinent to today. That is a lie right out of the pit of hell. There is no book that is more pertinent to the life of people than this book. And nobody can understand the events that are even happening in our world without this book. You will not give a proper understanding.
and you will not make proper decisions. Because God gave this book not just for Joshua, not just for Moses, not just for the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and James in the New Testament, but He gave it for all His people through all time. And so it's just as pertinent today in our moment of space, time, and history as it was during this time. In Deuteronomy 12:32 through Deuteronomy 13:5, and we don't have time to look those verses up. Look them up when you get home. This gives us guidelines for following God's Word. Gives us guidelines for following God's Word. How do you know something is true if you compare it to the Word of God? Now, the second thing, so that's the first thing. He gave him the understanding that the Word was to be the foundation of his life. The second thing that he was given and revealed to Joshua is that the power of God was to be the power that would go before him. Joshua was not to go in his own strength. Now, this became very evident, and we'll be studying more in depth on that in a couple weeks when he comes to Jericho. When they crossed the Jordan River, they crossed the Jordan River at the height of flood season, and they crossed the Jordan River very close to where Jericho was. Jericho was the main outpost or city that was protecting all the Canaanite land from invasion from the east. And Jericho had walls that were impregnable. And Joshua was going to come with the first battle he would be involved in. He would come to the realization very quickly it was only by the power of God that anything would be accomplished. I want you to understand this. It is only by the power of God that the will of God will be accomplished. And I want to tell you, you do not have to be the biggest, the strongest in order to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. You just have to walk in obedience according to His Word and seeking to walk in His power. Now, it's interesting, as you look at this, this is the same power, past, present, and future. I want you to realize that. Because what's happened, especially in American Christianity, is we have become so dependent on our own strength and our own abilities because we listen to the world's message that's infiltrated the church. And we do not seek the power of God when He calls us to do things. I remember a number of years ago, at one of the large evangelical churches in town, they had a webinar that they put on in this whole church, and it was about church growth. And so I went to hear this webinar on church growth. I sat for, I believe it was 3 to 4 hour webinar on church growth. I heard one Bible verse. One Bible verse. In 4 hours on church growth. What I heard, instead of the Bible, instead of the power of God, was man's techniques. How do you build a church? And it gave you all these techniques. You got to get activity. You got to get this. You got to get that. You got to get... Never was it you need to get on your knees and pray, and pray that God would go before you, touching hearts and drawing people onto Himself and using you to accomplish what He had set you forth to accomplish. It's all men's techniques. Part of the problem we have today is people don't believe that God's got the same power today because they've been brainwashed by psychological babble. Instead of looking to the Word of God and seeking God's power. I want to tell you, you can do and accomplish great things if God wants you to do it. But it's in the power of God.
The third thing that Joshua needed to understand was that God was going to give him a supernatural leader. Immediately, you're probably thinking, oh, that was Moses. No, it wasn't Moses. Well, then now it's Joshua. No, it's not Joshua. Do you know who was meeting Joshua out on the plains of the Jordan? If you jump to chapter 3, I think it is. Joshua is going and he's trying to size up what God's called him to do. And all of a sudden, a man appears with a sword in his hand. And this man tells him, well, Joshua cries out to the man first. He says, are you for us or against us? And as Joshua approaches him with his sword drawn, the man tells Joshua, take off your sandals, for you're on holy ground. Joshua had heard that same thing happen once before. When Moses began to come down from Mount Sinai, I'm sure he related to Joshua the incident at the burning bush. When Moses stood there and it was a bush that was burning but not consumed, and all of a sudden a voice came out of the bush and it said, take off your sandals for you're on holy ground. And it was the Lord speaking out of that bush. This is what is referred to as the theophany of Jesus Christ. It means that Jesus was appearing before he came in bodily form, being born to Mary. But he took on a man's form and appeared to Joshua. I can imagine Joshua probably said, wait a second here, I don't know. I know, I think Joshua grabbed his sandals, tore them off, and threw them aside as fast as he could and got down on his face. He had the same leader that Moses had. Guess what? You got the same leader today. But how many people don't want to give credit nor follow Jesus Christ? Just stop and think about that. We have the same leader that Moses and Joshua had. We have the same God who's got the same power that He showed Moses and Joshua. Just, I failed to tell you, but as they're standing there by the Jordan River and it's flooded, if you go to the Jordan in Israel, it's not that big a river and you're thinking, well, it's not that big. Well, it used to flood at the time and it would flood like the Red River. Wide. Difficult to cross. How is God going to show the nation of Israel that His power went before Joshua as it did before Moses? He did an amazing thing. What was one of the first miracles that God showed before the nation of Israel after what had happened of the coming against the 10 plagues? But when they were set free and they were running, they faced the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is coming. They can see the dust in the distance. And what do they have? The Red Sea before them. And the Lord tells them, Moses, he calls and the Red Sea is parted. And they walked over. It doesn't say they walked over in mud and goop. They walked over on dry land. They walked over on dry land. And they were delivered. The power of God. Nothing they could do. Same thing happens when Joshua's taking him into the promised land. The Lord tells him, tell the priests that carry the ark to go in and walk into the river, and as they walk in, I will separate the waters. And then they're to stand in the midst of the rivers, and they'll be standing on dry land, and you're to cause the people to go across. The same power of God.
the same leader, God. We have the same power, the same leader today. So I want you to understand this, and we're going to close because we're out of time. But I want you to take these three things with you. These three things will enable you to be accomplish what God has desired for you to accomplish with your life. And every person here has got something that God wants you to do. Maybe it's talking to your neighbors. Maybe it's talking to your family. Maybe it's sharing the gospel with others. Maybe it's talking to somebody that's getting confused because of all of the world's garbage that's coming into the church. And God's going to help you to be able to direct a brother and sister back to the Word. I don't know what God's got planned for you, but He's got something. But I want you to understand that whatever it is, you need to be, first of all, in the Word of God. Understand the Word of God has not changed. It doesn't change. Jesus said there wasn't a jot or tittle that's going to change from His Word. What He gave to Moses has the same meanings to us today. What He gave to Paul has the same meanings to us today. He's the same God. His Word's the same. It doesn't change. Secondly, His power, and He desires to show us His power, and He will reveal to us His power. And it's not the way that much of the church is trying to reveal the power of God through false signs and wonders and bizarre revivals where they're not turning back to God, but rather they're having some emotional experience. But it's the real power of God coming against Satan. That's what Paul was talking about. The power of God comes against the schemes of Satan, not me. The power of God enables me to stand against Satan. I can't in my own strength. And thirdly, that we have a leader going before us that we're to follow. Our leader doesn't sit far off. Our leader doesn't look through binoculars 20 miles away. Our leader leads. God is there going before us. He went before Joshua into the promised land. The Lord went, and when Joshua and Israel relied on the leadership and the power and the Word of God, no one could stand against them. The problem is we don't prepare ourselves to follow the leader because we don't think He's got power and we don't listen to His Word. Begins with the Word, belief in His power, and belief in His leadership. And we need to do all three. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to look to You. Help us to realize that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your Word tells us You are the Alpha and Omega. You don't change. Satan wants us to believe You have changed. This world system wants us to follow a different God, a different Jesus. But Your Word has revealed to us who You are and what we are called to do. Help us to follow You. May we get into Your Word. May we trust Your power and look for it. And may we follow Your leadership. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.